Hardest thing about giving a lesson is figuring out what you're going to talk about. And 3 weeks ago, I was going to talk about sunshine and joy and happy stuff. And God moves you in mysterious ways. So I've had a lot of car problems, so I'm going to talk about cars. So I just thought I'd switch to that. So subject this morning is cars. First of all, first thing that happened to me is my car wouldn't steer straight. So first topic is steering straight. So when I got home, I made an appointment to take it in. And when I got home, well, I thought I'll just pull the tire and look at it myself. And one lug nut's missing and two of them are loose. So the tire had been wobbling the whole way home. And so I called him back, said I didn't need him anymore. You know, new lug nuts kind of took care of that problem. So now steer straight. The steering determines the safety and the success of driving a car. So everything I'm going to talk about this morning deals with your car. I'm going to relate that to the scriptures and relate to how that helps us in our earthly life is about cars. When driving, it is important not to swerve. The way to heaven is straight and narrow, we find in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Entering in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. God instructs us not to turn, not to swerve in Joshua 1:7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The next thing that happened was I had a dead battery. So we all know in the winter that batteries are an issue. And one thing that you have to do with your battery is you have to keep it charged. So technology doesn't keep it charged as you drive. If your alternator's not working properly, your battery's probably going to go dead. So when the alternator goes out, it's a bad thing. Our spiritual batteries are the same way. A battery you have to continually charge. Your spiritual battery has to be continually charged over and over. And we find this in Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We also find in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though your outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then in Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Knowledge recharges. So when we read the scripture, when we come to worship service, when we learn anything about God and we learn about the truth, it recharges us, keeps our spirits recharged. The next thing is Christmas break, and I'm glad TJ isn't here because we ran out of fuel going to town to get him fuel. So I didn't think in my lifetime I would ever run out of gas because I'm pretty careful with that. But we ended up driving his car to town, and we were going to make it to Walmart, but we didn't make it that far. And there was two gas stations we passed to get to where we were going, so we ended up stopping, and it was a lesson to him on, you know, don't test the gas tank as far as you do. So do you have fuel? The most beautiful and powerful car in the world is helpless without fuel. We must have spiritual strength to do great things. I'm going to relate that to Samson. Samson was strong because of fuel from God. We find a verse in Judges 16:20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. So we find that without Christ and without God, we have no fuel. Paul's fuel was Christ. He says this in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then in 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then we find in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Christ is always with us. Christ will take care of us. Christ will make sure we have what we have, what we need. If we are faithful, we will always have fuel. The next thing is, don't blow your horn. And we've heard a lot of that lately. Winter brings on the horns. People start and stop slowly. So horn is of value unless you abuse it. So a horn is for something that you should use rightfully. Some boast of themselves. They blow their own horn. And we find that where the Scriptures teach us on this in Matthew 6:1-8. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms be in secret, and thy Father which is seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. The next thing I'm going to talk about is obeying the laws. Laws are for our safety. The only reason that the government enacts any law is for the safety of its people. It's really hard for us, and I know everyone in the room is the same, to obey the speed limit. Speed limits are there for our safety. So I've got some stories I'm going to talk to you about speeding. Romans 13:1-2 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Stop does not stand for slightly tap on pedal. I've got a story on speeding that I found. I'm going to tell you about the characters of the story. The speeder is Jack, and the policeman that catches him is Bob, and they both go to the same church. Jack took a long look at his speedometer before slowing down 73 in a 55 zone. Fourth time in as many months. How could a guy get caught so often? When his car had slowed to 10 miles an hour, Jack pulled over. The cop was stepping out of his car, the big pad in his hand. Jack thinks, Bob from church. Jack sunk further into his trench coat. This was worse than the coming ticket, a cop catching a guy from his own church. A guy he was about to play golf with tomorrow. Jumping out of the car, Jack approached a man he saw every Sunday, a man he'd never seen in uniform. Jack never knew that he was a policeman. He said, hi, Bob. Fancy meeting you like this. Hello, Jack. No smile. Guess you caught me red-handed in a rush to see my wife and kids. Yeah, I guess, Bob. Seems uncertain. I've seen some long days at the office lately. I'm afraid I bent the rules a bit, just this once. Jack toted a pebble on the pavement. Diane said something about roast beef and potatoes tonight. Know what I mean? I know what you mean. I also know that you have a reputation in our precinct. And Jack thinks, ouch, this was not going the right direction. Time to change tactics. What did you clock me at, Bob? 70. Would you get back in your car, please, Jack? Now, wait a minute here, Bob. I checked as soon as I saw you. I was barely nudging 65. The lies seem to come easier with every ticket. Please, Jack, get back in your car. Flustered, Jack hunched himself through the still open door. Slamming it shut, he stared at the dashboard. He was in no rush to open the window. Bob scribbled away on the pad why hadn't he asked Jack for his driver's license? Whatever the reason, it would be a month of Sundays before Jack ever sat near this cop again. A tap on the door jerked his head to the left. There was Bob, a folded paper in hand. Jack rolled down the window a mere 2 inches, just enough for Bob to slip the pass into the window. Thanks, Jack said through the slim opening in the window with a sneer in his voice. Bob returned to the police car without a word. Jack watched him retreat in the mirror. Jack unfolded the sheet of paper and said, "What is this? Is this a joke? It's just a piece of paper." The paper read like this. Bob had written a message to Jack. It says, "Dear Jack, once upon a time I had a daughter. She was 6 when killed by a car. You guessed it, a speeding driver. A fine and 3 months in jail, and the man was free. Free to hug his daughter, all 3 of them. I only had one, and I'm going to have to wait until heaven before I can ever hug her again. 1,000 times I've tried to forgive that man. 1,000 times I thought I had. Maybe I did, but I need to do it again, even now. Pray for me, and be careful. Jack, my son, is all I have left. Bob." That's a story about speeding. Safety laws are here for you to obey for a reason. There was a couple accidents in the past couple weeks that were strictly due to speeding. And a couple people died. So it relates pretty good to the laws that you need to abide by. Next thing that's happened is, I'm kind of hard of hearing. I know I get old as we get older. Is anybody here above 50 that can hear anymore? Well, I wear a hearing aid now, and it's kind of bad when you're riding with one of your kids and they say, "Dad, do you hear those brakes?" So put my hearing aid in, and next time I drive the car, roll down the window, and sure enough, you know, the brakes are squeaking. So another thing with the car is check your brakes. A car is a dangerous machine without brakes. We are dangerous to Christ without brakes. We have to have self-control, and we have to have brakes. Christians must have self-control, we find in 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6. "And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Psalm 16:32. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." He that is slow to anger, we anger very quickly. And we must be able to know when to put on our brakes. And we must have very good brakes as Christians. Christians should have the best brakes. They should know how to be humble, and they should know how to listen. The next is study the map. I'm not very good at maps. I like to get lost and then look at the map. So my wife will tell you I have the best U-turn maneuver of anybody around. She always says, "Well, there's another one." But I do a lot of U-turns. There's scriptures on maps. Have you ever tried to guess the way? Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. One thing that I received when I was over in Bagram is they give you two things right away when you go to their Church of Christ that they have at Bagram Air Base. And they're both bookmarks. One of the bookmarks that you get is a study on how to read the Bible while you're over there in 6 months. So what they do is they give you a bookmark that gives you day by day of how to read the scriptures. But the other bookmark that they give you is a map. And it has references on it. It gives you different topics and it gives you different references. And they give you as many of these as you want. So as you carry your books around and you carry your notebooks and your diaries and stuff that you're supposed to keep, you get a bunch of little green books that you have to keep your diaries in. And what they recommend is this is the right size for those little green books. And it sticks in there to mark your book. And what you do is you give these away. And it's funny how many of these you can give away. I gave away 4 of these. I didn't realize I only brought one home with me. I mean, I thought I brought several of them home, but I only brought one. But this is a really neat map. And on this map, it talks about being saved. It says you have to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and remain faithful. So there's about any topic that you can think of on this little flyer. It talks about the different things that the different religions have for scriptures. And what you're able to do is if you don't know the Bible, you can pull this out and you can instantly talk to people and have Bible studies and do things like that. So it came in very handy as a map of how to get through the Bible and the actual verses that you need to read to get there. The next thing that you need to keep and the last thing I'm going to talk about is an emergency kit. Everyone in there that lives in the north of, I'd probably say Missouri, but anybody who lives north of Missouri has an emergency kit. And the first thing you have in your emergency kit is non-perishable food. And it's not as prevalent, the emergency kits, as it used to be, because now we got a Casey's everywhere. It just seems like there's one every time you turn around. So if you think an emergency kit, Casey's is going to be open. But non-perishable food is the scriptures. And what you need to do for non-perishable food is we all have scriptures that we love. There's scriptures that we can quote. There's scriptures of the Bible that make us feel better, make us feel warm. Make us understand the way of life that we should have. We should write those down and keep those either in our billfold or in our purse or in our glove box. You should keep those scriptures with you so you can feel better. The next thing you need is extra blankets and clothes as an emergency kit. Now, what are extra blankets and clothes? That's everybody here. Everybody here this morning is my extra blankets and my warm clothes is to see everybody here and to talk to everyone. And you're the emergency kit for us. You're the emergency kit to help us get to heaven. And then we need to have water. We need to have fluids. Christ is the living water. We can have bottled water in our car, but we all know that freezes. So how do we keep that warm? But we need Christ. We need the living water. We need Christ and His Word to live. Relying on Him will keep us from a parched existence. Drinking His love, His promises, His blessings, and His strength. I had one more topic, and that was spiritual antifreeze. And I've got some verses on that, but the only thing I want to say about spiritual antifreeze is be that half cup full person. If you're going to say anything negative, don't say it. If you're going to think that you're down in the dumps, don't say it. If you're going to think that you have it worse than somebody else, you don't. I mean, you look at around the audience and you look at how well we have it. You need to keep that half cup full in everything you say. And everything we say to each other is we need to just talk about the good stuff. A joy and sunshine is what I was going to talk about this morning. And that ends my lesson. Hopefully somebody got something out of it this morning that you can take with you. We offer the gospel invitation to anybody that would like to come forward to make anything known to the congregation. If you'd like to be baptized, if you'd like to be part of this congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.